Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously, but whose house really might get blown away tonight, if I'm reading the news correctly. What's going on in St. Louis tonight?
We've got some high winds. There's some high winds or some rain in that wind, but it's nothing to worry about. We drove.
Are you sure?
We drove home through it. It wasn't a big deal.
Okay. Okay.
Ain't no thing.
Okay. You're confident in your house's ability to stand strong?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Let's be honest. It doesn't matter.
I mean, you get some good insurance money from that, I think.
I hope so.
Get a new house.
I hope I paid that. I hope I paid that bill.
Yeah, you should. You might want to check. You might want to take a break and go check right now.
Yeah, it's probably good.
Okay, pretty good. So I think it's safe to say now, based on when this will actually release, that you're going on vacation soon.
I am. I'm going to New York City, and I'm staying in Times Square. I'll be there from March 17th to 21st.
That's great.
Yeah, it'll be great. I hope to see everyone from the podcast there. Oh, wait.
This doesn't come out until after that.
That's strange. So oh, that's man.
You guys
should have come by my hotel and met my family. I would have taken you all out to dinner.
Taking pictures with my children. That would have been great. So you're not working? That's great. When's the last time you took a week off work?
I guess Christmas. I don't know.
And that's not really a week off.
No.
It's kids are home.
I don't know. Maybe we went to the beach last year. Yeah. Yeah. We spent a week at the beach.
Your Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia
mm-hmm.
trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're going to cold place.
Yes. Cold
you
place.
You tried hot place. You tried. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to try cold place.
Cold place. Busy place. Smelly place. Thankfully, it's all the same place.
Don't have to make three trips. That's true. Yep. Silver lining.
Yeah. I talked to one of Gloria's friends' fathers tonight at an event, and I was like, hey, we're taking the kids to New York City next week. He goes, oh, that's great. I took my girls to New York City last spring break. I said, what did you also have a wonderful time? Was it like really great?
He said, the one I'm gonna have.
He said, no, all of my children are apparently so overly smell sensitive that they could not survive walking around on the sidewalks of New York because of the garbage and the sewage smell.
Yeah.
So they had to spend the entire 5 days in the hotel.
I said, oh my God.
I said, wow, what did you do? He said, I wasn't allowed to do anything else. So
I spent a lot of money for a real bad hotel in New York for 5 days. Well, that's brutal. I mean, the smells are especially, I assume they stayed probably in Midtown.
I would figure.
That's where the smells are the worst. Yeah. There's not a place that smells great, but that's the worst.
Yeah,
you could if you went to like South Street Seaport, he could have gotten away with it.
Yeah,
it's windy down there.
Mm-hmm. It blows all the stink away fast enough.
But you're going to be in the stink.
Oh, deep in the stink. Yes,
deep in the stink.
Yeah, I'm expecting to hear nothing but complaints from awake until asleep every day about the stink.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's going
to be.
You know
what's really fun about bringing children to New York is
tell me
the pace of it all.
Yeah.
New York, it's fast-paced place.
Yep.
And children, not so fast-paced.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Like the lollygag.
We made sure to take advantage of the fast pace by booking a lot of things. So it's going to be
good.
It's going to be really good. We're going to be dragging.
Go ahead.
No, we'll be dragging the kids from like between three or four different things every single day.
So that's what I want to talk about.
I think that's the plan. It's going to work out pretty well, I think.
The best part is when you go to the subways and you're going down and your children are like looking up at the ceiling and they're like, they're dancing down the stairs. It's like, Ivy, there are 90 people who will murder you. Yeah. They don't care that you are so small. We must move faster. You don't understand. Your life is in danger. Please stop doing a ballet on the steps of the subway. And last time we went to New York in the Christmas time, all four of us came home very sick. I think there might be germs up there.
Man, I'm looking forward to that part.
Yeah, so be careful. Be careful.
Can't wait.
Speaking of things that are awesome, today we went to the local high school here in Stanton, did their spring musical this weekend.
Oh.
And we're like, we'll go check it out.
You
like,
should.
You know, we support theater. And yeah. Like, it's going to be the girls' high school someday, and let's get going. They did Mean Girls.
Okay. Yeah.
Mean Girls, the high school version.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so, like, okay, so we sanitize.
Sure.
We,
no, it'll be fun. Yeah. No, like, thigh slapping or anything like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, sounds but also,
boring,
it's going to.
But that's fine.
It sounds like not at all the point. Like, that's not what I'm going for. But, right. You know, it's going to be high schoolers on stage, so I think that's probably best. And so we went, and you know, it's high school theater. It's not going to be great, but it's, you know, we'll see.
Sure.
So we go, and here's, I got a few notes about this.
Are they listening? Are the kids listening?
I hope they are.
Okay.
Because a few notes. Number one, the high school version of this show is not sanitized.
Still pretty raunchy.
They use the word dick 4 times.
Oof.
As in, get off my dick. It was crazy. And then it's like, so that's, it's still raunchy. And it's a show that I wish I had seen on Broadway because it seems quite fun. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's very true to the movie, but there's fun, you know, a few more things that are fun. But to watch it at the high school level is very uncomfortable. To watch it with your 4-year-old and 6-year-old is like, I hope they don't know what these words mean. But then it's actual high schoolers playing sexy high schoolers.
Right, yeah. Like
that is the most uncomfortable I've ever been in a theater.
The Broadway play, it gets to be adults playing
right.
high schoolers.
Right, and so I know in my head,
right.
Oh, this is a consenting adult with a cerebral cortex, prefrontal cortex that is A-OK. This is kids, and they're doing sexy Halloween costumes, and they're doing midriffs.
Good.
And they're doing, it feels a little icky.
Yeah.
A little icky. Yeah. So that was weird. And then, and here's the big note. It was almost 3 hours long.
Mean Girls, the opus.
It was incredible. I was like, what is happening here? So that was a surprisingly challenging chunk of my day. I was looking forward to it. I used to work in high school theater.
Sure,
I was in theater when I was in high school.
Right.
And then when I taught high school, I helped out with the theater. I was excited to see those kids shine. And I will say, some of them, very good. There is some actual, like, genuine, really great talent on that stage. Would not recommend.
It's always a little awkward when you're like, you feel like you're done with act one. Like, you feel like you're, you know, and then you kind of kind of quietly try to find the page in the playbill that has the song listings, and then you finally like get to
there's
it and you realize
9 more songs.
Nine more
one?
Songs in act one. That's
We got to the end of act one and Ivy was like, okay, let's go. We're like, well, there's more. But then Aaron jumped all over. She's like, should we go? Because we also had here's the other thing. We had a birthday party to get to at 5 o'clock at night, 30 minutes away.
Oh.
And we're like, who does a 4-year-old's birthday party at 5 p.m.? It's crazy. But
is it a happy hour for 5-year-olds or something?
Yeah. So the play starts at 2:30 and intermission is like 4 o'clock. And we're like, well, so Aaron's like, well, do you guys want to go? And Ivy's like, yeah. But Maple's like, no, Maple was loving it. She was so into it, which is really exciting.
Sure.
But also it's like, well, fuck, now we gotta stay and watch the rest of it. And Aaron was like, you know what? I did think like have you ever seen Into the Woods?
No.
The musical? Okay. Into the Woods is it's a show where it's fairy tales, and like at the end of act one, that's a whole show. Like it wraps up. There's no cliffhanger. It wraps. And then act two is like a whole new events begin happening to these characters. And there's no connection. So you act one could be a standalone show very easily. And you'd be like, all right, great show. And then it goes on for 2 more hours. But that one is a great show and does it very well. Mm-hmm. This one also, Aaron pointed out, it sort of did that. We could have told the girls, that's it, because it's a nice button on the story. But the button is, I'm a mean girl now, and fuck all my friends.
I think we have to stick around to watch the redemption arc.
So it didn't seem like, the moral would have been a little different had we decided to bail at intermission. So we stuck around.
Oh, man. Be a little suspicious, like, after day five of Maple being like, you know, I really liked that show. Like, yeah, okay, you keep saying that. I know.
Oh, man. Where can we see just the second half of that? So that was our night. And then we went to a 5 p.m. birthday party at a bouncy, at a trampoline park.
Fun.
Yeah, cause I didn't get to bounce.
Well, not much fun. Too big. Much too big.
I'm not too big.
I'll
tell you what.
You're pretty big, and you got skinny little feet. And you'll just pop right through the trampoline.
First of all, I don't got skinny little feet. I have skinny little ankles. Okay?
They know.
My feet are fine.
They'll pop right through.
Pop right off.
They saw you coming in from the parking lot.
I signed a waiver.
With your little, like, spider-like tick, 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 tick legs coming in there.
Yeah, it's okay. I signed a waiver. I could do it. I'll tell you, there was a guy there. He was having his best time. He was soaring through the air, and he was bigger than me. Mm-hmm. But the look on his face as he was just bouncing around, just like, I mean, I've never seen that much bliss on a grown man's face in public in my life. It was incredible. He was so happy. And I thought, that could be me right now. But it's not. It's not me. Hmm. Anyway, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Sure, yeah. Bit of a downer, but why not? Ooh, spooky time. Ooh, spooky time.
There we go.
Ooh, spooky time.
That was uneven audio-wise.
That's fine. Jeremy fixes that stuff in his sleep. Yeah,
Jeremy's going to make it flawless. Oh, God. God love Jeremy. I've been working him overtime because we're doing so many more ghosties now on Smith shows, and I always give him an out. I'm like, I can do some of these if you want. I'll do them badly, but I'll do them. And he does not let me. He's doing them all. So thank you very much, Jeremy. Having said that, please equalize that audio. Okay, so tonight's story, I think as we discussed last week, it comes from one of our favorite contributors, Caroline Jones.
Yay!
And in true Clayton Reads Caroline Jones's Stories fashion, I have not read this.
Excellent. You had an entire fucking week to go through this.
I had an extra week. I could have sat down last Monday on our normal day and just read this, and I knew that I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Did not.
I said, no. Not today, Satan. That's what I said. People don't like it when I know what's happening. Let's find out how this goes. Caroline wants the first credit. Give credit to Boggart and Banshee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Harry Potter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a podcast that exists within the Harry Potter universe, which is apparently a podcast that alerted her to this story. She says, it's a really interesting podcast in which an American and a Brit discuss all kinds of folklore and the supernatural, although they are rather more respectful of their subject matter than Patrick and Clayton.
Mm, well.
That's not. That's.
There's a place for everybody in this green earth.
Yeah.
We fill a void, all right?
We sure do. Boy, we sure do. So here we go. In 1688, the Reverend Samuel Wellesley married a woman named Susanna Ansley at St. Mary Le Bone?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Church.
St. Mary the Bone Church. Yes.
Mary the Bone.
Mary the Bone. Where would you like to get married? Her. You know where I'd love to get married.
Right in the bone. Oh, boy. Mary the Bone Church in London, which is in, I am told, England. Mm-hmm. And they go on to have 19 children.
That's nuts. That's like...
unbelievable.
Ugh. That's like nursery rhyme levels of children. That is not healthy.
Only in this says what in 12 years? That can't be right. That's impossible. 19 children. How many of them do you think survived infancy? I can give you multiple choice if you want.
Oh, so she birthed 19 children. They did not raise 19. Oh, this seems more normal. Yeah.
Yeah. How many?
Of the 19, I'm going to say 10. I was going to say
10 is correct. 10 is correct. Wait a minute.
Hit the button.
I'm hitting the button. I don't know what button I'm hitting. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Nope. Oh, no, that was wrong. It's yep. Two of those children were John Wesley, who grew up to found the Methodist religious movement.
Oh, wow.
That's a big one.
Okay.
That's a big one.
And one of them, and there's still another one, another child we're going to talk about here.
Another big one. Yeah. And Charles Wesley, who is probably the greatest hymn writer in the English language.
Oh.
There's nothing like a good hymn writer.
Absolutely. Good this is like the Bee Gees. That's really what this is.
This is
two geniuses that just happen to come out of the same womb.
Oh man, I love a good church banger. That's the one thing I miss about having turned my back on Catholicism. Mm-hmm. I do miss the church bangers.
Every once in a while, when we do like a UCC type church, and every once in a while they'll pull out one of the old Catholic bangers, and I'm kind of bobbing along to it, and the kids are like, "This song has some bop to it," and I'll say, this is what I grew up on.
Come Back to Me, whatever that one's called. That's a great one. Mm-hmm. There's so many good ones.
So many Catholic bangers.
So many good. All right. I'll just leave that there for a second. Now, John and Charles both, they don't actually appear in our story at all.
Damn it. This is what we get for not reading further than the line we're currently on.
I was so excited. But it is their family we're talking about. So, to return to the beginning... In 1691, Samuel, the dad, 3 years after he's married, he's appointed vicar of a village called South Ornsby in Lincolnshire, which is probably pronounced Lincolnshire, I assume. He had to leave, though, after he insulted one of the local aristocrats.
You have one job.
I know.
Keep the rich people happy. This has been religion since the beginning of time.
It's God for the people, the aristocracy for the clergy.
Exactly.
We know that. however, he was then appointed rector of Epworth, which is another village in rural Lincolnshire, where he stayed for the next 48 years.
Okay. He learned his lesson.
Until his death, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rector.
Damn near killed her.
Do you think rector, is rector better or worse than vicar? Did he get promoted or demoted?
I think rector is a step down. I don't think you insult the aristocracy and then get a promotion. I'm thinking down.
Okay.
I'm thinking down.
Which one is a higher rank, rector or vicar? According to Claude, in the Church of England hierarchy, a rector is considered the higher rank of the two.
Really?
Yep. So he came out, he fell in a pile of shit and came out smelling like roses.
Clearly.
What I'm seeing here.
My goodness.
Very nice. Good job, Sam. Samuel was an opinionated man and did not ingratiate himself with the people of Epworth. It's cool. It's what you want in a community leader, I think. The locals were strongly opposed to anyone who was either a royalist, a Tory, or an academic.
Boy, you can be a mud farmer or you can be nothing else.
As someone who has spent now 12 years in higher education, I get the academic part. These PhDs are fucking insufferable. Oh my god. And Samuel happened to be all three, so he's not going over great. He also further alienated them by enforcing strict adherence to the Church of England doctrine. I hate a strict. You don't want a strict rector.
I'm much more of a, lunch buffet Christian.
Yeah.
I like this part, but I don't like this part.
Yeah, and Christianity is famous for being very cool with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, let's see. If a parishioner erred, Samuel would demand public confession of their sins.
Ooh.
Is that Church of England doctrine?
I don't know. We at least got to go in the booth, right?
Yeah, we at least had to talk to one guy.
Exactly. And then he talked to God, and then God was like, it's cool. And then he told me that God told me it was cool. And then everything was
five
fine.
Hail Marys. Just that murder you committed, no problem.
Just three dudes. Just three dudes chatting. That's all it was.
Just three bros. Three bros hanging out. Now, that's terrible. The locals, they did all they could to try to drive the Wesleys from the village. Wow, they damaged the family's crops and livestock.
Oof.
And they refused to pay the tithes that they owed the church. In 1709, the rectory was burned to the ground. And rumor has it the parishioners started the fire, but there's no proof of this, so we right. can't do anything. But Samuel is determined to stay
mm-hmm.
because he is insufferable. I guess he does, right? Because he's there until he dies. Boy. He's going to stay.
Hmm.
Why here? Why do you want to stay in that?
I don't get it. They're making it very clear. We're going to spit in your food all the time now.
Yeah. Well, right. Oi it. Like, what do you, just, or you could not.
We'll
you could just
spit
leave.
In your mud. I swear, we'll spit right in your mud.
No, not my farming mud. So he's going to stay. And within a year, he builds a new large brick rectory for the family to live in.
Hmm.
Okay. Good luck burning down these bricks, idiots, he says. Samuel was a prolific, if not particularly accomplished, writer. It was his ambition to become a well-respected author, which did not happen. In 1680, you know what they say, if you can't write well,
mm-hmm.
write a lot.
Exactly.
I get it. That's been my goal. 12 books in, and I need to go faster.
Yeah.
In 1685, he writes a poetry anthology entitled... In 1685, he writes a poetry anthology entitled Maggots. Or...
Is there a subheading?
Yep.
Okay.
Or poems on several subjects never before handled by a scholar.
Okay.
I'm coming around a little
color
bit.
Color me intrigued. I am interested in knowing.
I'm at least going to the library to kind of flip through this one in person.
I'll listen to the title track. You grabbed me. I'll listen to the title track.
Wikipedia describes this as, quote, a collection of juvenile verses on trivial subjects. Which I think that's...
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good, actually. Mm-hmm. That's my whole career.
He's playing down to the masses. I love this. He's like, okay, fine. They keep burning my house down and peeing in my crops and spitting in my mud.
Fine.
Fine.
This is for you.
I'll make some poop and fart jokes for you. Is that what you want?
Yeah. he did move on to more serious subject matter, but his technique did not improve much, unfortunately. For example, he wrote A Life of Christ in rhyming couplets.
Hey.
Which like, Caroline notes here, it sounds awful. I'm thinking I'd like to see this. Like,
literally, my kids have something called the Rhyming Bible upstairs. I'm willing to bet it's very similar.
What is the rhyme scheme of that book?
It's iambic pentameter, actually. I don't know if you're...
I cannot possibly be.
It's the only meter possibly. I could think of. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I bet there is an iambic pentameter version of that. Some fucking dork. Spent 30 years writing it. Let's see. So he wrote that. And he also wrote a dissertation on the Book of Job entirely in Latin.
Hmm.
You familiar with the Book of Job?
Yeah. It's the one where like God keeps like squeezing him.
Yeah. That's a crazy book.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you are probably the person who is like best at doing all the things I want you to do.
Mm.
Let's fuck you up.
Yeah.
All the way and see if you keep doing it. Just like as a fun experiment.
I think they even like murder his family and stuff. Like they do.
He thinks everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And he's still like, yeah, man, mm-hmm. I'm your dude.
Mm-hmm. And eventually God's like, are you slow? What is the problem with you?
I would have tattooed a pentagram on my forehead by now. And I'm God. What's going on? In contrast to her husband, though, Susanna, his wife, was a bit of a badass.
Hmm.
Her father gave her a good education and taught her to always follow her own ideas and convictions, which I assume, 1691, mm-hmm. 1600s, is probably not like a normal thing for girls to learn growing up. That's cool. Let's see. He may have regretted that, though. Oh, no. When at the age of 13, she rejected the Presbyterian religious tradition, in which her father was a popular minister, and chose to join the Church of England.
Because
that's what she wanted. All right. Heart wants what the heart wants. Susanna was 19 when she married Samuel, and he believed that she would be the perfect, dutiful wife, but almost immediately learned his mistake. So one fun example, Samuel is a staunch supporter of King William III. He was a royalist, as we've heard. But Susanna believed that the exiled Stuart family were the rightful heirs to the throne. I assume these names mean stuff to people. Caroline does not give any context, so I have to. I'm just guessing that people know. People know.
I have to imagine at this point in history, like having an opinion on who you believe the rightful king is must make you the most insufferable type of person on the face of the earth. Everybody else is clawing and scratching to survive, and you're like, no, I don't believe he's the righteous king.
You know, he'd be still scratching his fucking dirt if Stuarts were the king, right?
No, I'd be scratching that dirt over there, not this dirt over here. Oh, well, that's a good point.
See, it's up the slope just a bit. It's a little nicer up there. That's
above you, down here where you'd be.
You would be here still, regardless, for sure. So, let's see. So they disagree on who should be king. And then in 1702, during family prayers, Samuel prayed for William III, and Susanna refused to say amen.
Oh.
Ooh. Dagger to the heart. Take that, rector. You got wrecked now.
Dagger to the rector is what that is.
Hey, Luna, new illustration idea.
Good luck with it.
Did you see? Did I send you the one? I did. Ryan in Sally's bathroom. Plumbing.
Yeah.
Just pooping right down to the plumbing.
That's wonderful. Loved it.
That's, boy. It is. Listen, we haven't done a Ghost Plus plug in 30 seconds, so we'll do it. If you're not on Ghost Plus, here's what I'll say. You are missing the wildest shit. In this case, literally. I'll post on social so people see what they're missing. Anyway, where are we here? So Susanna doesn't say amen. And Samuel views this as unforgivable.
Mm.
And now he's at the point where separation is the only solution.
Wow.
Can you imagine being in a relationship where you were like, you better fucking say amen to this prayer. And if you don't, I will kill you. We have 19 children, only 9 of whom died. Yeah. I will kill you if you don't say amen. And he declared, quote, "You and I must part. For if we have two kings, we have two beds." Now, it doesn't seem like that worked out in practice for them because, once again, they did have 19 children. But he does leave home for a while, and he stays away for 1 year.
Wow.
He's so angry that she won't say amen to his dumb prayer. But eventually he does return, presumably to his wife's bed, as they had at least 4 more children. Yep, there we go. Caroline's on the same page. Despite being almost constantly pregnant and in charge of the household, Susanna also, she took great care over the education of her children. She taught them all to read and write in English, Latin, and Greek. That's incredible.
It's a big three.
I only speak one of those languages.
Mm-hmm.
They ever tell you, so in undergrad, Tom Long and I briefly, like, and this is very brief, but we were going back and forth on, like, having a competition to see who could be the most insufferable on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what the early stages were, but then Tom like double majored in humanities. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. And then, so he was winning. And then I got very close. And I mean, I was like talking to advisors. I was like, it was very close to minoring in Latin.
Oh my God.
Which would have definitely cemented my championship. But I was like, I can't do this for a goof. I just like, I don't want to do this. Anyway, so she did that. And she also gave them religious instruction. For several years, Samuel spent a lot of time in London for work. And so when he was not in town, he would appoint another clergyman as his locum, I guess representative there in the parish of Epworth. This man proved to be even less popular than Samuel somehow. Because all his sermons were on the subject of repaying debts. Just unbelievable.
Oh, man. Is there anything that inspires someone more than a sermon on repaying your debts.
You know, it's like what Jesus always said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, which he certainly did. I think this guy is fixating on that one line of the Bible real hard. Man. When Samuel was away, Susanna would lead her household, which in her children and the servants, in family prayers. On Sunday afternoons, they would sing a psalm, and then Susanna would read a sermon written by either her husband or her father, followed by prayers and another psalm. The way that Susanna read and prayed was so inspiring, the servants began to tell their friends and neighbors, and they started to come over for these sessions too.
Wow, okay.
Before long, over 200 people were attending Susanna's Sunday afternoon service in the rectory kitchen. There was food. So,
you know,
people love pizza.
I'd cut that number in half right there.
Yeah. The biscuit budget is okay. Well, maybe I'll be back next week. Maybe.
I smelled pizza through the window. Oh, there's a woman speaking here. I'll wait. It's fine.
Okay. I'll go stand in the back. I don't have to hear from there. So her Sunday afternoon service, 200 people, while the Sunday morning service at the church, the actual real service, dwindled to nearly nothing. So now the locum vicar complains to Samuel, and Samuel writes back to Susanna and is like, please stop. But Susanna writes back saying she believes she's doing God's will.
Sure.
And she writes, quote, in your long absence, I cannot but look upon every soul you leave under my charge as a talent committed to me under a trust. I mean, how are you going to combat that? I mean,
that's a sick burn right there.
That is a sick burn. Also, this idea like, hey, all these people coming to you because you're talking about like God and like doing good stuff. Mm. You got to stop it because the guy I put in charge wants to talk about debts. And that's what we need to be doing here is just crazy. Susanna told Samuel that if he expressly commanded her to stop, she would, of course, be a dutiful wife and do so. Just as I'm sure Amy would stop doing whatever if you commanded her.
Oh, yes. Very dutiful. Sure. Yeah.
Yep. Very dutiful. But warned him that in that case, he would be the one who would have to answer to God about it on Judgment Day.
Mm, Amy mentioned this part to me, too. Yeah.
Seems right. And by answer to God, she means this bicep. Mm-hmm. And on Judgment Day, it's whatever she decides. And as far as we can tell, he did not say anything more about it from that point.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Anyway, our story starts in 1716.
Oh, fuck.
How long are these notes? Oh, there's a lot to go.
Oh.
Okay.
Let's skim.
Our story starts in 1716. The three sons of the family, Samuel Jr., John, and Charles, were away. Samuel Jr. was grown up, and the other two were at boarding school. So the household now is made of Samuel and Susanna, mom and dad, Emily, 23. Suki, age 21.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Suki was in this.
Yeah. Yeah. Vampire baby, age 4. Molly, age 20. Mehetable, known as Hetty.
Yeah.
Good change.
You're shortening that one.
Yep. Age 18. Nancy, 14. Martha, known as Patty.
Yeah. That's a short version of it. Yeah.
Sure. Keziah, age 6. And one male servant and one or two maids. On December 1st, 1716, one of the servants, known as Nanny Marshall, heard a terrible groaning sound. It sounded like someone dying coming from the hallway of the house. She was much alarmed, but the rest of the family just laughed at her. They did not hear it. And they're like, calm down, lunatic. Calm down. Calm down, you poor. Don't be hysterical. The next day, another servant, Robin Brown, was sitting with one of the maids in the dining room when they both heard knocking at the door that led out into the garden. So Robin goes out to open the door. There's no one there. And this was repeated two or three more times while they were sitting in the room, and then also was accompanied by groaning.
Okay.
But each time, no one was there when the door was open.
Phantom groans.
Phantom groans. From then onwards, the spirit, quote, used frequently to visit Robin Brown in bed. walking up the garret stairs, and in the garrets, like a man in jack boots with a nightgown trailing after him, then lifting up. Yep. It's a bold fashion choice. Then lifting up his latch and making it jar and making presently a noise in the room, in his room, like the gobbling of a turkey cock.
I'm gonna need some Claude to fill in the gaps on that one. What is the sound of gobbling a turkey cock?
I can tell you what a gobbling of a turkey cock is.
If you don't mind, yeah.
I don't know. Are turkey cocks big or small?
Is it? Do they mean like the
a male turkey? I
yeah, like the warbling, like like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've done that exact noise more times on this podcast than I care to. Remember.
And yet, Jeremy has not clipped it and turned it into a button yet. I'm not sure why.
Well, he's going to now. He's coming up with jack boots. He's wearing a nightgown. He's making it sound like the gobbling of a turkey cock. What a fucking phrase. Then stumbling over his shoes or boots by the bedside. Even when Robin left his shoes and boots below stairs, quote, the same sound was heard as if there had been 40 pairs. After this, the daughters of the family also started to hear the knocking noises around the house, usually in the evening or at night. This escalated into other noises like stones being thrown, clanging metal or chains, and footsteps, which made the whole house shake. This was accompanied by door latches moving by themselves and a door being pushed against one of the girls. So the girls tell their mom, but she says the noise, like, there has to be a reasonable explanation for this.
Right.
The noises are probably caused by an infestation of ants.
That makes sense. Because they're very strong for their size, right?
Uh-huh.
And they can
if
push.
There's a lot of them, mm-hmm. yeah. Then I've seen cartoons. When there's so many, they mm-hmm. make one big ant
yeah.
who's huge. And then that makes sense. She sends away for a horn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
which is blown in all the rooms of the house to scare the rats away. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So I'm a little confused. In this age... How do you send away for a horn? What is there? Amazon is still years away at this point.
Is it Sears? They're pretty dusty.
You just send like the most competent child you have to go find a horn in the countryside?
You send a servant, I think.
Yeah.
Go fetch yither a horn.
Yeah.
And then
go ye to the hornery. Oh, me? Yeah. Yeah, I'll go. Sure.
Okay, yeah.
Is it my turn?
To go to the hornery.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wanted to go to the hornery. I'm halfway there.
However, this just causes the noises to be heard at all times of day, not just at night.
Oh,
so now
no.
They're making it angry.
One wasted trip to the hornery.
No trip to the hornery is wasted. I'll tell you that for sure. The girls then tell their father, Samuel, what's going on. But he thinks, like, this is girls playing tricks.
Yes. Absolutely.
Which I will say in Samuel's defense, like that does sometimes pop up as what's going on in these stories. Or he thought maybe it was young men who are courting them, like trying to impress the family, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been a young man before.
And horns drive me wild when I'm in that kind of state. Absolutely wild.
I spent so much time with the hornery when I was little. I was a lad coming of age. You have no idea.
I'm like a 12-foot tall moose in heat when you blow that horn.
However. Oh, God. However, Luna, another illustration idea. 12-foot tall moose in heat from horn. Blowing a horn. However, the next night, he himself heard, quote, 9 distinct very loud knocks just by his bedside.
Mm.
Quote, as if one had struck violently on a chest with a large stick.
Hmm.
So he got out of bed, he searched the house, but he finds nothing. Susanna wrote that the ghost, quote, continued from this time to knock and groan frequently at all hours, day and night.
Hmm.
Except that she asked it to be quiet between 5 and 6 p.m. every day when she did her private Bible reading.
Ah, that's nice.
And the ghost was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah. I also need to rest at some point. So,
yeah, so we'll just agree. This actually works out. Yeah. It's a win-win. Yeah. It does obey. So, and here's another quote. One night about 6 o'clock, Reverend Samuel went into the nursery in the dark and at first heard several deep groans, then knocking. He adjured it to speak if it had power and tell him why it troubled his house. But no voice was heard. But it knocked thrice aloud. So there's some communication happening
here. Okay, yeah.
Not in the way he would prefer, but it's happening.
Not great. No.
A little cryptic.
Mm-hmm.
He then asked the spirit if it was the ghost of his son, Samuel Jr., as the family had started to fear that perhaps he had died while away from home. But there was no reply. I guess that's a good way to figure out if your kid has died.
In these days, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Or today. I think it's fine. If you're being haunted, you might as well ask, mm-hmm. is all I'm saying. You might
Doesn't
as
hurt.
Well ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're the Phantom.
Or knocks if you're my son.
If you're the Phantom, you're a little offended. You got to.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not your son. I'm here for a totally different reason.
Yeah. Like, you're not paying attention. Like, would your son do this? Like, this is so insulting. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Now I'm groaning between 5 and 6. Fuck it. I'm doing it now.
By now, the girls have started to call the ghost Old Jeffrey. And tried to communicate with it by knocking when it knocked.
Hmm.
This is good. I think that's...
Makes total sense.
I think you want to.
Yeah. Very boring day.
Yeah.
Very, very boring
day. It is the 1700s. One morning, a couple of days before Christmas, Emily, the eldest daughter, she calls her mother into the room where the three younger girls sleep and told her the ghost was there.
Hmm.
After stamping her foot several times and always getting the same number of knocks in return... The mother then looked under the bed and, quote, something like a badger without any head ran out from there and under Emily's petticoats where it disappeared.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yuck.
I don't. I mean, a badger by itself, also not great.
Also, already problematic.
Yeah.
The head, though, is an integral part of a moving badger,
yes.
I think.
I would wager to say the head of the badger makes it look less terrifying.
Yeah.
Compared to it not being there.
Yeah. Do you think this was like just a badger that was born without a head? Like, does it look like a badger born without a head, or is a badger whose head has been like cut off and you can see like the flesh inside?
I get the impression this is some sort of unholy demon, and the closest thing she could compare it to was, this looks like if you had a badger, but you took the head off and it scampered away.
So it's like a closed system badger body.
Absolutely.
I think that's better than one where the wound just flaps.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely much better than that. Yes.
Similar to a conversation that Jen and I had about the headless horseman and the headless horse.
Mm. Which is worse?
Did you listen to that Ghost Plus episode?
I'll have to go back and double check.
I think you should.
Hmm.
One of the things we had to think about, the notes were not clear on this, so we'll never know the answer, but if you have a headless horse, with the headless horseman riding it,
right.
But the horse is headless.
Right.
Is it better for just the head to have been lopped off right under the chin,
right,
the jaw,
uh-huh.
or down at the base of the chest where the neck starts?
Oh, okay. So basically, yeah, do we have neck? Is it the neckless
horse? Do we have
neck?
Okay. Do we have neck? Yeah, it's a neckless horse.
What's
more terrifying?
I think it's more terrifying if the neck is gone as well, just because it sounds like a lot more dangerous way to ride a horse, you know? There's no brakes.
That's true. Yeah. That's a great point. How are you going to ride this horse? It's like, functionally speaking, way scarier.
Yeah. But I do think it probably is chopped off at the jaw, making it just a headless horse, but a necked horse. Not
now,
neckless.
In that case, does the neck of the ghost horse, is it rigid? Can it hold itself up or is it flop?
No, I think it's rigid.
Because if it's a noodle, if it's a running, like the horse is galloping and the head is just like noodling around, that's the worst possible option, I think.
Yeah, for everyone involved.
Yeah. Anyway, go back and listen to that Ghost Plus episode. It's pretty good. So now we have this badger-like headless thing.
Mm-hmm.
On the night after Christmas, Samuel and Susanna once again hear violent noises. They hear rattling and thundering in the house. So they get up. They look around the whole house. As they go into each room, they seem to hear the noise in the room behind them. So like every time they move, it's like behind them. So they go this room and they go, it's behind us. Let's go there. They go there. It's like, oh no, it's behind us now.
Mm.
Strangely, none of the children or servants were awoken at this time. Although, quote, Hetty trembled exceedingly in her sleep.
She knows she's next.
She's got those ring dreams.
Why did you name me this?
What is like the early 1700s version of the ring? You're not watching a VHS tape.
Right.
This girl climbing out a well. You're like this painting. You looked at this painting. Yeah. You have 7 days to show other people the painting.
You page through these lithographs. Why?
So then the couple goes downstairs and they hear the sound of a large bag of coins being poured out at their feet.
Oh, hey.
And a voice, a noise, quote, as if all the bottles under the stairs, which were many, had been dashed in 1,000 pieces. But there was nothing to be seen of either of these occurrences, just sounds, just audio. The noises continued until December 28th when Samuel asked Mr. Hool, who was the priest of the neighboring parish, to come over and stay up overnight with him to see what happened.
Okay.
Seems sensible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I thought I was being haunted, I would definitely call you. I'd be like, look, I know Patrick, of all people, is not going to believe this is a ghost. Like,
I suspect it's some sort of like protein imbalance in my diet, and I'm just hearing things. I need a second set of ears.
Yeah. He, too, heard the knocking moving around the house, though.
Oh, no. That's not what you want.
I know. And
you definitely want your buddy to go, I don't hear anything, man.
He's there, really, is to be like, I don't know, man. Hey, you have a brain tumor, and I am really sorry about that. But good news, there's no ghosts.
Yeah.
So Samuel then again asked Spirit why it came. Quote, but it seemed to take no notice, at which he was very angry, spoke sharply, called it deaf and dumb devil.
Mm.
So this is not, that's not what I would do for a, that's not what you would do for a ghost. That's not decorous. Whatever it is, the spirit responds with loud knocking.
Mm.
But after that, nothing more was heard of it for almost a month.
Oh, okay.
But at the end of January, the knocking starts up again.
Ah, damn it.
And this time it's starting up during family prayers.
Oh, the one time we agreed on.
Yeah, it was biding its time. I thought, how do I get back? How do I exact my revenge on this family in a way that cuts deepest?
Mm.
Took a month, but he was finally like, oh, yeah, duh, 5 to 6. Yeah. It particularly happened when Samuel prayed for the king.
Oh.
So perhaps the ghost, like Susanna, supported the exiled claimant to the throne, ? Mm-hmm. When he left out the prayers for the royal family, the ghost remained silent.
Okay. All right.
So this is, anti-royalist ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Could also be Susanna. we'll find out. We're getting to the end here. Let's see. One night, Robin Brown, the servant, was alone by the fire in the kitchen when a creature, quote, like a white rabbit, appeared and, quote, turned round 5 times very swiftly. He ran after it with the tongs in his hands, but when he could find nothing, he was frightened. So, well, I don't know.
The animals are becoming less threatening. You gotta admit.
The ghost was last heard on January 26th. After this, all supernatural activity ceased. We know about it because of letters written by the family at the time and things they wrote later. Several explanations have been proposed, including noises caused by the house settling as the land around it was drained.
Mm-hmm.
Or local people playing tricks, try to drive the family away.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That's right. Yeah.
Seems
that one feels pretty good, yeah. Many people think the daughters, particularly Hattie, may have caused the phenomena, and even that Hattie and Robin Brown may have been secret lovers.
Oh.
One writer points out that Brown slept in the attic and that, quote, if his bedroom was above the master chamber and it was indeed Hetty's lover, the knocking noise is, oh no, heard by Mr. and Mrs. Wesley above their heads together with 1 or 2 groans at other times, may well have a more carnal explanation. That would do it.
It would make sense why it stopped during family prayer time.
It does not explain the animals, the headless badger and the weird rabbit.
Well, yeah, but
so. But that is the story that Caroline Jones has sent of the Wesley Poltergeist.
Wow.
What do you think? What do you think about that one? Ghost or no ghost?
I'm thinking no ghost on this one.
You're thinking sex in the attic.
I'm thinking, I mean, I usually am. But yeah, in this case, I'm also.
Actually, can we wrap up here? Because Amy and I got to go. Oh, we have a thing upstairs.
I got to go get the ladder down.
It's her foreplay. She loves it the most. What about the animals? What do you think about that? I mean, the rabbit is just probably just a rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rabbits are quick, so they disappear, but like, wow. The headless badger is weird.
It is. I'm still thinking some sort of grotesque creature that was just best described as headless badger. But
what do you think creature in nature exists that would be described well as a headless badger? Skunk?
Skunk does sound...
Yeah, shorter heads.
Yeah, and they don't disappear. They linger.
Yeah, that's true. It's not that.
I don't know enough about, as much as I should, about English pests or English rodentia.
Furry Roomba?
Oh, I do like that. Yes.
Could be furry Roomba. Mm-hmm. Could be a time traveler came back and played jokes on these people, which would be, God, that would be a great gag, wouldn't it? Some people thought they'd use this technology to go back and kill Hitler in the crib, but I have a different idea.
Yeah. And a podcast.
Oh, boy. Well, that will do it for us for this week. Thank you again to Caroline Jones for taking all these excellent notes. Wonderful story, Caroline, as always, doing great work. Oh, and I do one more Ghost Plus thing. Caroline and I are going to sit down and record some ghosties.
What?
And I don't want people to get too excited. Like, she is the only listener who gets this dispensation to join. Like, please don't submit and be like, I have a good ghost story. You may, that may be true, but Caroline has proven her chops here. She's done about half a dozen shows for us. And they're always great. And she's going to do some ghosties. And she's going to tell me the ghosties. I am so excited.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I can't wait. So, again, if you're not a member of Ghost Plus, it's $6 a month. We're doing new bonus episodes every week, and they are just unbelievable. And all this extra merch opportunities, such as a headless horseman riding a headless ghost. Or producer Ryan pooping in one of our listeners' bathrooms.
Whatever floats your boat.
You know, we got lots going on. We got something for everyone, is what I'll say. Anyway, this has been another episode of This Is a Ghost. We are a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were not taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Jen Jones. And our merch is done, designed in cooperation, collaboration, in partnership with the sometimes assistance of Stephen Luna and Fox and Quill Studios. And grateful we are for all of that. And that's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you next time. Until then, I don't know, if you see a headless badger, just sell your house or burn it to the ground. Because otherwise, we might be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.